Odder the younger fell silent. He was about my age, 19, good-looking, black-haired and elegant in a black tunic that was as clean as a woman's dress and edged with gold thread. A golden crucifix hung at his neck. He gave me a grim look, and I must have appeared travel-stained and ragged to him. And after inspecting me and finding me about as appealing as a wet mongrel, he turned on his heel and stalked from the hall. "Tomorrow morning," Odder announced unhappily, "the bishop can marry you, but you must pay the bride price first." "The bride price?" I asked. Alfred had mentioned no such thing, though of course it was customary. 33 shillings, Odder said flatly, and with a hint of a smirk. 33 shillings was a fortune, a hoard, the price of a good war horse, or a ship. It took me aback, and I heard Leofric give a gasp behind me. "Is that what Alfred says?" I demanded. "It is what I say," Odder said, "for Mildred is my goddaughter." No wonder he smirked. The price was huge, and he doubted I could pay it. And if I could not pay it, then the girl was not mine. And though Odder did not know it, the fleet would not be mine either. Nor, of course, was the price merely 33 shillings, or 396 silver pence. It was double that, for it was also customary for a husband to give his new wife an equivalent sum after the marriage was consummated. That second gift was none of Odder's business, and I doubted very much whether I would want to pay it, just as Elderman Odder was now certain from my hesitation that I would not be paying him the bride price without which there could be no marriage contract. "I can meet the lady?" I asked. "You may meet her at the ceremony tomorrow morning," Odder said firmly, "but only if you pay the bride price. Otherwise, no." He looked disappointed as I opened my pouch and gave him 1 gold coin and 36 silver pennies. He looked even more disappointed when he saw that was not all the coin I possessed. But he was trapped now. "You may meet her," he told me, "in the cathedral tomorrow." "Why not now?" I asked. "Because she is at her prayers," the alderman said, and with that he dismissed us. Leofric and I found a place to sleep in a tavern close to the cathedral, which was the bishop's church, and that night I got drunk as a spring hare. I picked a fight with someone, I have no idea who, and only remember that Leofric, who was not quite as drunk as me, pulled us apart and flattened my opponent, and after that I went into the stable yard and threw up all the ale I had just drunk. I drank some more, slept badly, woke to hear rain seething on the stable roof, and then vomited again. "Why don't we just ride to Mercia?" I suggested to Leofric. The king had lent us horses and I did not mind stealing them.
"What do we do there?"
"Find men," I suggested. "Fight?"
"Don't be daft, Ursling," Leofric said. "We want the fleet. And if you don't marry the ugly sow, I don't get to command it."
"I command it," I said.
"But only if you marry," Leofric said. "And then you'll command the fleet, and I'll command you."
Father Willibald arrived then. He had slept in the monastery next door to the tavern, and had come to make sure I was ready, and looked alarmed at my ragged condition.
"What's that mark on your face?" he asked.
"Bastard hit me last night," I said.
"I was drunk."
"So was he, but I was more drunk.
Take my advice, Father. Never get into a fight when you're badly drunk."
I drank more ale for breakfast. Willibald insisted I wear my best tunic, which was not saying much, for it was stained, crumpled and torn. I would have preferred to wear my coat of mail, but Willibald said that was inappropriate for a church, and I suppose he was right. And I let him brush me down and try to dab the worst stains out of the wool. I tied my hair with a leather lace, strapped on serpent breath and wasp sting, which again Willibald said I should not wear in a holy place, but I insisted on keeping the weapons. And then, a doomed man, I went to the cathedral with Willibald and Leofric.